Welcome back to The Fleet, the number one industry podcast for fleet managers and their teams. I'm your host, Albert Chow. Driver shortage? There's no driver shortage. So why is the trucking industry having such a hard time filling its open jobs? It's not a shortage of drivers. It's an abundance of options. And how do we know this? Well, we don't. But Grace Sharkey from FreightWaves does. FreightWaves is the Bloomberg of transportation. The company reports on the logistics and transportation industry, and Grace has been researching, writing, and living logistics her entire career. In today's conversation, Grace uncovers the abundance of opportunity available to drivers today and why the antiquated industry is struggling to meet drivers on their terms. She also discusses how she thinks labor wages will roll back and how new innovations will make shipping easier and possibly less expensive. Plus, find out what she thinks happened to her Beyonce face mask that just never arrived and what happens to your goods that just magically disappear in transit. The Fleet is brought to you by our friends at Lytx. Whether you manage a fleet of 5 vehicles or 5,000, Lytx is here to help. Lytx fleet dash cams are powered by best-in-class machine vision and artificial intelligence, designed to help commercial fleets and drivers operate more safely, efficiently, and profitably with the industry's most comprehensive and customizable fleet management platform. Go to lytx.com/the fleet to learn more today. That's lytx.com/the fleet. Welcome everyone to another episode of The Fleet. And today we have a special guest, Grace Sharkey. She is a staff writer at FreightWaves. Grace, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Right out the gate. For those who don't know, what is FreightWaves and what do you do there?
FreightWaves is the what we like to call the nerve center of transportation and shipping. It is a great group of individuals, editorial writers with years, decades of experience who report on the industry, really anything that has to do with the movement of goods and even people. So autonomous vehicles, autonomous trucks, those are some of the cool, interesting areas that we like to touch on. But we also do have an analytics side to our company. So I like to explain it to people like really a Bloomberg situation where you have a company that is, you know, driven to create this nice data interface, but also uses that information to help communicate to its readers the different trends that are happening throughout various markets. And the best thing about FreightWaves, and especially about transportation data, is it's usually a couple months ahead of most economic data, right? Because you're seeing the movement of goods before they start reaching the end consumers. There's a lot of times where I like to look at our sonar charts compared to regular industry market trends and kind of get a good capture of what's about to happen in the future. So that's kind of the gist of it. If you're someone who's interested about how your goods get from A to B, or maybe even the opposite, like you're wondering how your shipment keeps getting lost, FreightWaves is where you want to go to get that news.
I'm checking out the site. You guys, like you said, it covers everything, you know, ports. Just like you said, how did you get into this industry? Because were you just by chance alone a staff reporter, or how did you become such an authority on transportation and logistics?
Yeah, not anywhere close. You know, I actually went to school for political science related fields. I was looking to hopefully go into nonprofit work. And I did a lot of that in college. And I actually used to raise funds for tuition in school as well. So what ended up happening is a lot of freight companies, what we call freight brokerages, actually would come to our nonprofit fundraising group and recruit students out of it. And I had a couple of friends that entered the industry, and I was just kind of interested in the economics of it and really, of course, wanted to take a job after school that I could use to pay my loans. I entered this space with a company called Fifth Wheel Freight. I was the third employee there. And I helped build what became really about an $80 million, probably end this year around $100 million freight brokerage. I just fell in love with the industry. It's problem solving. It's problem solving every single day. It's trying to help your customers figure out how to get their products from A to B. Just imagine the life of working with truck drivers every day. Like, It's constantly something new coming your way. So I notice a lot of people that get these like kind of political science type, like, or even analytical degrees, find a lot of fun in the industry, because it's just, like I said, constant problem solving. So I, you know, made friends in the industry. It's something that I always like to do, is try to network as much as possible. And got really close to a couple of the members of the FreightWaves team that really started closer to the beginning of FreightWaves. And when I left Fifth Wheel Freight to start consulting and helping some of my friends with their businesses, this is something I was like, you know what, maybe I could do this. So yeah, I walked into this with no writing experience. I mean, college, stuff like that. And I've really been able to grow that area of my expertise over the last 6 months. So it's been an interesting ride, that's for sure.
Yeah. So that's something we've learned along the way doing this show, interviewing different guests. They all say the same thing about how challenging the industry truly is, from a couple, you know, there's many, many factors, whether it's labor, whether it's technology, whether it's adoption of technology, whether it's policy. There's so many things that are pulling on this industry that is absolutely critical to how we live, yet it doesn't really feel like anyone's making it easier for them to operate.
It's like the least technology driven industry of all time, but yet it feels like it should be the most. It's a conundrum.
Talk to us a little bit about what's going on the roads today. One of the things that we've heard over and over again is, of course, the increased demand for drivers. We know that that's true. And there's also increased demand for actual freight. So there's driver shortage, and there's almost like a route shortage, right? There's not enough routes to like fulfill all the orders. And then I've also read how like at ports, there's not enough port workers either. So like the goods can't come off the boat. They can't get on the land. They can't get processed. Then they can't get to the driver. By the way, I'm expecting a piece of freight because I ordered a big piece of, you know, I told Lacey some workout equipment. That has been out, been delayed. It's been in America for like 3 weeks, but I don't know if I'm, well, every time I look at my quote of delivery, it gets later and later. Help me understand what's going on. And if you can, if you could solve it, that'd be good too.
You know, it's funny you say that too, because I have a Beyonce face mask that I'm pretty sure fell off a container ship like months ago. And now it's like, I never even need it. So it's like, it doesn't even need to arrive. Like, when am I going to need that? So you touched on a lot of really great things. And, you know, I just, before even doing this call, was in a meeting where we were talking about as a staff, the driver shortage and like what's created it. And we really don't like using the word driver shortage, because it's, when you say shortage, it's almost like not enough human beings to actually do it. No, there are. It's just the industry is fighting against a lot of new markets and new ways that we want our goods. So I wrote a really cool article about this a couple of months back, where a lot of the issues that drivers have with driving, right, is let's not even get into drug testing, sleep apnea testing, all of that. But let's just stick to overall. It's clearly long days, right? You're on the road. A lot of times you're driving at night, driving early in the morning. So you have that. A lot of times these guys and gals aren't getting home, right? So it's like there's a lot of issues that are actually completely solved when you look at over the road trucking. When you look at this like rise of e-commerce last mile. So it's like all of these drivers who wanted to be home every night, who wanted to run their own business, who wanted to control their hours, are now getting fueled by these last mile delivery companies to go out and, you know, get one of those white like Mercedes-Benz vans and build their own company. And it's an attractive sell. I mean, that's where just I would do it. It can be run well. You can make very good money doing it. And you don't have to worry about, you don't even need to get a CDL. Like you could have a regular driver's license. So like, you know, even when if we want to take it back to like drug testing, like these guys, if they wanted to like smoke marijuana, they couldn't do it as a CDL driver, but they could do it as a final mile delivery driver, right? Because there's no one testing them. There's no one regulating them. So there's all of these like disadvantages of on the road trucking are being attacked by the industry itself. So you bring up ports, right? Like we have all these containers. Well, drivers aren't there to pick them up. Port shipments suck. Like they're not fun. You have to get there super early. Majority of the time, it takes forever to find the container. Flow stacking isn't appropriate to make it a smooth and optimized type of job. So the same thing happens there.
Why is that? Is it the ports are more concerned about just stacking the containers? They're not really worrying about optimizing the routes of who's coming to pick them up. They're just like, oh, I just need to get these containers off the boat. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, it's that. And it's like, there's so much rerouting going on right now, right? Like if they're stuck in LA and for some reason, this happened a lot more in the wintertime. It's honestly what I think happened to my Beyonce mask. They would reroute themselves through the Panama Canal down to Houston. Well, when you do that, you have all these containers that were hoping after you dropped off in LA to be delivered in Seattle. And so then you have all this shuffling and restacking that causes a lot of headaches. And reshuffling is like one of the biggest issues when it comes to downtime on these containers. And then on top of that, it's not a very trackable and it's a very fragmented industry, right? So let's say that like right now, I know that there's, I think in China, like a few ports that have just a bunch of empty containers, like, and no one's coming to pick them up. Like, think of all the congestion that's causing, because one, now you have all these people who are like, I need containers to move my goods. Well, too bad they're in China when you actually need.
Yeah, they're not full and they haven't come back. So sorry.
Yeah, like one of the biggest, that's like one of the biggest exports actually of the LA port is just containers back to China. When they can't even get in there because there's 50 trucks waiting for them to, or 50 boats waiting there to get unloaded, it creates this huge, just messy flow. And, you know, if you look at any market, so I think part of the reason I really love freight is because it moves and it's very analytical, just like when you look at like the stock market and things of that nature. So it's, there's an index that we use at Freightwaves that's like, it's like the Panama Canal Index, and it'll gauge the rate of going from China to LA compared to going from China down through the Panama Canal into Houston. And that fluctuates. There's different times of the year where that's actually cheaper to do. It might seem like it's so much longer, but you have to gauge it. It's just like any other market. So you add the market trends into just like the mass chaos that's already occurring all over the place, all over the world. And you have this like jumbled mess where you see these headlines about, you know, $150,000 container prices and all this minutia. Do I think some of those headlines are a little skewed sometimes? Yeah, 100%. Especially when I really hate when I see like driver jobs, $90,000 a year. Like that's not exactly true. There's a lot of costs that they take out of that. But shows you like how desperate the industry is trying to optimize and get back to its normal self, which I honestly don't think we'll see until even next year this time.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. I don't see how e-commerce gets put back in its box. People have recognized how convenient it is. Every company out there that's got any type of size, scale, and logistics is trying to compete with the biggest, you know, at-home deliverers like Amazon, right? There's more big box retails offering curbside. You know, they're trying to figure out less mile too. They all are. There's no one out there sitting like, I don't need that. You know what I mean? Everyone's trying to do it.
It's every industry too. Like that's the thing. It's like they're not just stealing drivers from a company competing with Amazon to Amazon. It's like they can deliver groceries, right? Through Shipt.
Yeah.
They can deliver through Dutchie. Like there's just so many different jobs that e-commerce is just like booming that you can like literally think of any commodity and be like, okay, that's what I'm gonna help move.
Yeah, no question about it. And I wonder, you know, because you're seeing this from your perspective, and I'm curious. So you mentioned earlier about wages and pay. I'm assuming wages and pay, they got to keep pushing up because they need people to choose them, right? If I'm a cross country freight company, I need people to choose me. I need to charge more money. eventually, I got to believe that the cost of shipping will get so ridiculously expensive that it'll revert back to we choose retail again, where, you know, a company like, let's think of a big retailer like, you know, Target, Walmart, Home Depot, they own their supply. They own their distribution a lot. They own a lot more of their distribution than, you know, any general retailer relying on U.S. Postal Service, right? They got the big distribution centers. They have full-time truck drivers potentially taking units back and forth. I got to imagine shipping prices are actually, because to account for labor prices, are going to eventually cause people to walk back in store. That's my hypothesis. I don't really know, but I'd love to hear what you think because you see this from a macro perspective of what is happening to the wages in this industry.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of like the whole Amazon situation, right? Like Amazon destroyed the malls and then they went and bought the malls for warehousing. It's like,
yep.
What? It's just a store. Like it doesn't make sense. It's the same problem here. And, you know, I think that if you look at like a lot of the earnings from companies, transportation companies around at the end of Q2, you saw them eat it. You saw them eat a lot of the increase in prices because, you know, they do that. They want to keep their customers. They want to keep them happy.
Sure.
Right. And if you were talking or listening to any of like Dollar General or the actual shippers, like the main thing that they were all talking about was whether or not they had good contracts in place for if this got worse. And that's because it got worse and we stopped eating it. And you're right. It got pushed. It's getting pushed to customers. And I think what you see now is the pushback against those high prices, which is just no supply, right? So you go to the store and you can't find it. It's like, well, if you want it for this price, you're not going to find it. And when it does come up, and I think we all struggle in house here because it's like Barry, you're dabbling into inflation type of rhetoric, right? And like no one wants to do that. But I think the prices will come to. I don't see them just staying up to pay these people more, especially I think a lot of the driver incentives that you see where they're increasing wages is more of like bonuses and things that they know they can pull back when they need to, because this industry is cyclical and this will come back and it will hit hard. And that's, I think, what we're really trying to do over here at Freightways, like figure out, okay, like prices aren't going to stay this high. How low is it going to get at some point? And how do we prepare everyone in the industry to make sure they can sustain through that? Because there's been bad times for carriers. And this is the first time where I think shippers are like, whoa, like maybe we've been doing this wrong.
Okay, so now I got to ask, because you do have you have access to unique information. I love how you process. Why do you think it sounds like you think there's a potentially economic rollback that's going to happen pretty soon, or I might be putting words in your mouth, but I'd be curious to hear, why do you think that is? Why do you think this boom is going to fall back some?
You know, one thing that like I've really focused on over the last couple of weeks is like the unemployment data. It's a set of data that like really throws us off, and it's probably something that we're not going to be able to like really figure out, but I don't think we're going to have this like crazy pullback that's just going to like just hurt people. I think that personally, from what I'm seeing, I think you have a lot of people not paying student loans, not having to do that. You have a lot of clearly stimulus money out there that people, I think, are spending appropriately instead of just throwing away at things. That's why you see like housing being one of the things that people our age are starting to invest in more compared to just like, you know, buying for me, like more Yeezys or something. But it's, I think that what will help it from collapsing is just more of demand. I think right now people are just wanting to buy things. I think we want to get out. We want to go to restaurants. We want to do everything. We want to go get a boat. We want to go on the lake. We want to do all these things. And so I think it's just like this like combination of people finally getting out that's like created this huge drama. And then on top of it, you have the transportation side, which is not helping. But I think what you're seeing on the transportation side in terms of optimization and being able to use our assets appropriately and have every container used when we can is kind of what I do on a daily basis here at Freightways. It's our lack of technology. We're going through this technological revolution right now where people are finally saying, you know what, let's get ourselves out of these silos where like we're afraid that like everyone's going to steal our customer. In our data and see how much better we all start to operate, right? Like a rising tide raises all boats or whatever that's saying. And so I think that's part of the reason it's so bad is because you're pointing the finger at the industry that's like avoided technology for 100 years.
Well, I do know that when I have ordered exercise equipment before, I have to sign like, you know, receiving of like a bill of material or bill of lading. And it's typically I sign it via paper and then I watch the guy kind of fold it up and put it in a pocket or something.
It's like there's so many things where I lose my mind when it comes to like realizing like the visibility within the industry. When I say visibility, like knowing where all of our available trucks are at one time so that we can get them routed to the appropriate places, which will eventually bring down costs. I think that there's a lot of open spaces. And personally, like whenever I'm driving down the road and I see an empty truck, I like lose my mind because it's like, no, like you should have something on your back. Not just because I don't know, it's more revenue for you, but like we are at this point in our economy where we need everyone putting every asset they have on the road. It's a interesting time.
I'm curious because you know this like the level of fragmentation that exists. I'm curious, how many unconnected companies, this is a magic question, how many unconnected companies, no API conversation, no data transmission, no communication, how many unconnected companies does it take to move a product from, let's use Los Angeles to DC? Do people easily move products like that? Or is like, it's like, you know, carrier one takes it to carrier two takes it to three takes it to four takes it to five. Like, do you guys have any stats like that of how many people have to touch something for you to get it? Assuming it's not into like, you know, big box distribution.
I don't think we have a stat for it. I'm sure there's like some cool study, but like one thing I like to point out to people, especially when it comes to like your goods, is like, you know, like let's take this book, right? Like not only are we talking about the transportation of the paper, right? So we're also talking the trees, we're talking the equipment to cut down the trees, we're talking the glue, like how is the glue made? So it's like, even in this product alone, there's like so many different logistical moves within it. I'll give you an example of like how fragmented it could possibly be. So at the freight brokerage I was at, you know, and we were going through our own technological revolution, but I'll kind of give you an example of like why even technology won't work appropriately. Let's say I was going to go pick up a steel coil for a customer, right? Well, a lot of times how that would work is I would get an email that just said like Shreveport, Louisiana, right? And then like, it would just be like a code, like the pickup number. And that was it. So like they would send that and then I would send a truck to go to pick up there. But like, let's say I was a lazy employee at the time and I just didn't enter the pickup number in the pickup number spot. And like, maybe I emailed it to the driver, right? Well, like now I just like crushed the visibility, the communication of even my system being able to tell another system that that coil has run through a shipment in my company or in my brokerage house. So then it finally gets there, it gets delivered. And really the only true visibility that you had on that coil was that yesterday it was there and now today it's here. And no one in that transaction knows the price, knows how many carriers could have moved it, knows the type of driver that did move it, knows how many stops he had to make in between there. Like there's no guidance. A lot of the companies that you see in our industry that like provide visibility, their visibility is from machine learning. It's not like an actual tracker. It's from 10 million shipments going through a system and the system learning where it more than likely is. So it's that I find super interesting, because I think sometimes when you tell people like, yeah, your shipment's being tracked, it's like, no. There's not a tracker on the shipment. We're just using like the best educated guess to see where it is. It's like that if you ever buy something and you know when like the most frustrating point in that shipping tracking is when it's like label is printed.
Yeah.
Like what's happening between there? Like, I don't even care. Once it gets to the post office, like I'm cool. I know it's going to take like 2 days. I'm more concerned with like, how long is it going to take this person to get it to the post office to begin with? So
yeah, for receiving.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to like heavy freight though, it's even crazier because you'll see, because each leg, it won't tell you its destination leg. I mean, the one thing that if you order from FedEx is it'll say like en route to Memphis. Like, you know, you'll see that and you'll be like, oh, okay, it's on a plane to Memphis and it's probably going to get sorted to Raleigh and it's going to get on a truck. It'll even tell you it's on a truck to deliver, right? So that's if you order for FedEx. But for this exercise equipment, it says like departed Chicago. And I was like, well, where's it going? And then like 2 days later, it says arrived South Chicago. I was like, wait a second, that's like 30 mile stops.
Yeah.
Cause I'm guessing the next truck to where I live in North Carolina was picking up there. So they had to move it down there so it could get picked up. And I'm just thinking to myself, is this how it works? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know why it works that way is because it's labeled as automated, but the data is entered by a human. So it's like,
right.
It's not automated. It's just like manual disguised as automation. And there's so much of that in this industry. And I think some of like my favorite parts of this job is like being able to figure out those type of technologies and really figure out which ones are actually doing something to make this community better.
Cool. Well, tell us some of the things that you're seeing that are helping make the community better, because this is one of those things where I'm sure to announce, because we've had, for our show, we've had people that are in technology. We've had people that are inside the industry. But the technologists always think they have a solution for you, right? They always think they have a solution for you. You just rolled your eyes. don't ask the sales rep if this thing will work, because the answer is yes to the sales rep. But tell us about some of the things that you've seen that are promising that you're like, wow, this is really going to transform the way things are going to work, because we hear a lot of buzz, of course. We get pitched a lot of buzz. We're a podcasting company, but you know, I'd love to hear from someone who's actually operating with the operators. Like, what is actually working?
I'll say the number one thing to watch out for when you're talking to tech people too, is like the moment they say the word synergy, just like run away from that conversation. You know, they have like no idea what they're talking about. So I would say, and I think there's two areas that I'm very interested in. So one is actually, I did an article on the other day, and that's why I love this job, because I just learn about different spaces that I'm like, no, duh. Like, of course, this goes to your situation. So there's a company called Fetch Package that they're focused on creating a solution for multi-family housing, so apartment complexes. So with the rise of e-commerce, a lot of apartment complexes are dealing with either one, being too short staffed to accept all these packages, or two, they just like don't have enough space. Like their locker box rooms aren't big enough.
The poor doorman, he's got a desk, or they got a desk the size of, you know, like your cubicle, and they have to service a 100 plus unit apartment or something.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Or it's like my situation where the door's just unlocked from like 9 to 5. And then like, as long as the homeless men that like live in the alley don't steal out of the packages, we're good. But what they do is they created a system. It's basically when you live in these apartment complexes, you can sign up for a Fetch Package. And then when you order something, you don't put in your address. You put in your Fetch delivery address, and instead of like an apartment number, you put in your Fetch code. And so what happens is once that delivers at a Fetch warehouse, they'll text you, and then you set a delivery where you can actually accept the package. And so what it's allowed these companies to do is like completely eliminate the worry of having to add more mailboxes or add bigger mail rooms, or honestly, like they don't even have to worry about having anyone there to accept deliveries, because these people can just get them delivered themselves. And then like, think about it in our everyday lives. Like imagine that you're that customer and they're like, hey, you know, it's here where you want. Like you could tell them, hey, I'm at my friend's house. Just come deliver it to my friend's house. Right. It like gives you the opportunity to have more control, which I really like, because you don't really truly get that from Amazon. You still have to like be here at certain times. And
yeah, or well, they'll just leave it on your front porch or whatever.
Exactly. So it was a really interesting solution to like a market that is huge. I mean, they work with, I want to say it's 180,000 units right now, but there's 2.1 million apartments across the country with like, I think average two consumers living in those homes. So like, think how much bigger that company could expand.
This is one of those things where this is where I get frustrated myself sometimes. Yeah. Doesn't you get, you hear these ideas, you're like, that's clearly obvious. Like why didn't I think of that? Yeah. Because of course, yeah, the real estate developer doesn't want to develop a mailroom that can accept packages, because that's another apartment he or she can't sell. Like, no, they want an apartment there. They want no mailroom. And it makes total sense. No, you want to store things offsite. Let someone else store it.
Yeah, there's a reason why like all of the participating investors in the recent round were like quite literally these housing companies, because they're like, yes, like this is great.
They know the problem. Yeah. They knew the problem.
So I think that's one area that I really like. I think another area that fights more for the little guy is driver behavior and driver tracking solutions. So being basically in cab technologies where they're able mm-hmm. to really monitor what the driver is doing and what's happening outside their truck. Now, and I feel like I always preface it with this. I completely understand how that can seem very invasive. Great, I'm a truck driver and like you just want to watch me all day and be on me about like speeding, et cetera. Sure, maybe it can come off that way. But what's happening in the industry right now is like a large number of nuclear verdicts. So what happens is these carriers will get into accidents where maybe someone is unfortunately killed or injured, and they're getting blamed for these huge accidents because they have no evidence to prove that they are a good driver.
Yeah.
All these lawyers will like use this one-time offense to paint them as like a roadway murderer when yeah. they've driven like 4 million miles without an issue. And so what I like about it is a lot of insurance companies are taking this reporting and starting to lower insurance costs, because it's like it's the same. Remember, I think Geico has it, right? Where you can put the little thing in your car and it's like, if you're a good driver, we'll take your fees down every month. It's the same thing. And for me and a lot of the drivers that I know, like they got nothing to be afraid of. They want to prove that they're a good driver and that they're like, they're doing the best that they can. And they want a record of that. And now they got, these guys will be able to fully like print it off and show, hey, look how much I've improved. Look at what my whole fleet is doing. And let's figure out how we can get these rates down to the fact where it's like, they could even potentially see, well, taking the street, like my drivers get pulled over on the street all the time. Like, let's just stop going that way to that certain, you know what I mean? Like being able to like pinpoint what's really affecting your costs. So I think that's an interesting area. And you know, we all, at the end of the day, it's like to my friends that aren't in this industry, I like to explain to them, like Tracy Morgan, like really changed this industry because.
Oh, when the Walmart accident, yeah. He got very much injured. I think his passenger got killed, unfortunately. Is that accurate? Or yeah.
Yeah. So he almost died and the passenger got killed because a Walmart driver, I think, was like 30 hours over the amount of drive. It was an insane amount of hours he'd been driving straight through.
Yeah.
And then they pushed through the ELD mandate. And that was the first time that we were able to start connecting to cabs. And that's what really fueled this digital era and this like visibility movement, because we actually now have a way to see what our assets are doing at any moment in time.
So in the near term future, you know, you've kind of hinted at a couple things. You know, there's technologies that are going to make the process easier. There's, of course, optionality for drivers to drive more localized routes now, which is really, really competitive. And you mentioned like the boost in wages to get these drivers to move back to like long haul driving. You think it potentially could be a short term thing? Of course, they're eating some costing right now, but eventually you think prices will stabilize or revert back to normal. I'm curious. What do you see in the short-term future? Let's use some real short-term. This holiday season, will goods arrive on time? Last holiday season, people freaked out because they couldn't get their goods. I know people like ordered Pelotons in October, and come Christmas, they couldn't get them. There were complaints everywhere. There was obviously people talking about the post. USPS was overloaded. Everyone was overloaded. Last holiday season was definitely a rough one. So if you were going to give advice, this holiday season, will shipping be reverted to normal, like where it's more reliable? Or do you think it's going to still be hard to predict how long something's going to take? Therefore, get your early orders in early.
Start buying gifts now, 100%. The only reason I literally say that is because I've already started doing it too. Like a couple weekends ago, I was up north and I love getting like trinkets and weird stuff for my family. And I left a shop and I was like, well, I'm all done with you guys. And I was like, it's going to happen. There's going to be none of that. Like the week before you're getting something delivered, none of that's going to happen. It's going to be very tight, really rough. And I think that I know that shippers are already preparing for it.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm interested in like how a lot of these like Black Friday type of sales go, like if it will like even be as much volume. I think that's why you saw even like Amazon pushed theirs, right? To like June, because they know it's going to be rough. And I'm talking about every aspect too. Like even I was doing my podcast today on automotive supply chain. We're talking about like snow tires and parts for breakdowns during the wintertime. Like they're starting to get that stuff brought in already. So I would say, no, start getting gifts now, start, be strategic about it. And hope for the best if you're one of those that just like doesn't start, get like macaroni right and start making macaroni like necklaces and stuff for your family members, because that's the only thing that's going to be able to be brought.
You know, it wasn't that long ago, if you recall, you probably can remember this, like where companies, I mean, I don't know in the last ones, but companies used to like launch in the fourth quarter. Like they would launch their product. They're like, you know, oh, this is the newest toy, or this is going to be the hot gift for the Christmas holiday season. That's stopped. I mean, that is stopped. I don't think companies can reliably trust the supply chain to launch goods anymore in that window, because they can't guarantee they can get it to the shelves by that time. And then, of course, like you said, at the last mile, nobody wants to hold it. So like if I'm a retailer, I want everything that goes on my shelf to go out the door pretty much the same day. I never want to keep your stock for months. Like, you kidding me? It's eliminated the holiday release. Like, I don't think products release in the holidays anymore. They can't. They can't afford to.
I would say you're probably not going to see it for at least the next couple of years. Like at least next year, not like this coming holiday, but the 2022 holiday, I could see them just out of fear, like avoiding it as well. So no, I agree with you. It's funny that you say that, because I was just thinking that the other day. Like I hadn't seen many just like different fun releases. Like I'm really into like makeup and stuff, like, and even that, like I haven't seen any cool stuff come across there. And it's because, yeah, they don't know when exactly to do it. I mean, like we're talking, my Ivy Park stuff from Beyonce, it's Beyonce. You think she would have got it to me on time, right? And like they gave me my money back. They're like, we don't know where this mask is. And there was a huge container ship that lost a ton of containers of Nike and Adidas stuff. And I told my sister, I go, I know that stuff's on. It's just sitting at the bottom of the ocean. So,
hey, I had a similar experience where like I ordered something and, you know, unfortunately I had to return it. Whatever, it got scanned in because I actually dropped it off at the receiving center. So lucky for that. But then it just like, it never went anywhere. I was like, where is it? I don't know. But yeah, your mask, that hypothesis that it's at the bottom of the ocean in a container. Hey, listen, someone's going to find that treasure. It's going to be full of probably perished goods. So unfortunately.
I don't need it now. Like, what do I need? I mean, maybe if this Delta thing doesn't figure it itself out, but like, I don't need a mask now. And that's where the releases are so hard to judge, because if it's going to be summer attire and I don't get it until midwinter, well, Now I'm not going to wear it next summer. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changing the retail game for sure. Like, I think they had to order probably all their winter gear. Like, I don't know. Probably the spring this year. You know what I mean? Winter coats, like, order in the spring. I don't know. Oh, man. Grace, it was a lot of fun having you on the show. Your insight and knowledge of the industry beyond what, you know, we see on the surface just through headlines is pretty awesome. It was really fun talking to you. And I love that fact that you made some predictions because, you know, sometimes our guests don't like to put their neck out on the line, but I really appreciate it. And you know what? I agree with you on all, well, just about all of them. So thanks again for joining us on The Fleet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Fleet is presented by our friends at Lytx, the award-winning video telematics and fleet management solution. Trusted by more than 4,000 fleets worldwide, Lytx is the next generation of fleet technology. Help drivers address risky driving behaviors like cell phone use, speeding, and inattentive behind the wheel, all while harnessing the power of video and data to thrive in today's competitive environment. From safety to compliance to fleet tracking, Lytx technology offers the industry's most comprehensive and customizable fleet management platform. Go to lytx.com/thefleet to learn more today. That's lytx.com/thefleet.